Now I'm going to be scriptural tonight. I just looked it up to make sure. It says, lay aside every weight. So I'll leave it there for just now. I'm going to take that home with me, but right now, amen.
It's got a big J on it, right?
I appreciate that. I appreciate that. Both of you pastors and all the people here that had a part in that, I'll treasure that. I really will. And remember this conference. And, well, for a lot of reasons, but I praise the Lord for that. I don't know really as much about you folk here as I know about Baptist folks. I know Baptists pretty good. And when you get to talking to Baptists and preaching to Baptists about money, you get on really touchy ground. In fact, we had a man some time ago, you know, that he was held up right out in daylight, held up. And he was just a regular Baptist like most of us. And he refused to give the robbers his money. I mean, you know, Baptists are pretty tight. They hang on that money. And they said, we're going to kill you. He said, I'll get my money. And he broke loose and started running. They shot him in the arm, and he just kept on going. And they shot him in the left leg, and he just kept going, kind of dragging that leg. And they shot him up in the shoulder up here, and that really was, he kept going. And they finally shot him in the billfold, and he dropped dead. There's a straight line from the billfold right up to the heart, you know. Amen. And I, you know, someone says that fools, you know, fools plunge in or fools go in where angels fear to tread. I hope I won't be counted a fool tonight, but I really feel impressed. I got on this just in another message the other night. Got talking about giving, and it just, everybody lost their joy. I didn't hear anybody saying, amen, praise the Lord, brother, preach it, you know, amen. But I thought tonight, I feel led of God to preach what I'm going to preach tonight. It has to do with giving.
Amen.
You know, someone said, if the grass is green on the other side of the fence, it's because someone's been paying the water bill. Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
We want to send the light, and we sing send the light, but no one really wants to pay his part of the light bill.
Right.
Amen. But there is a light bill.
That's right.
Associated with sending the light. And a lot of people have the idea when you get off to talking about giving that somehow you've shifted from spiritual things to unspiritual things. And yet there's a great deal, as most of you know in the Bible, about giving. There are several ways you can give to missions. And number one, you can give what I call the emotional way. That is, you get people all whipped up, you know, all excited. And they'll give in the heat of emotion, you know. But that really doesn't last. That's very spasmodic, giving. And then of course you can get folks to give by the means of budgeting. You know, sit down and figure out what you can afford to give. But you see, budget giving limits God. It limits God. And then, you can also get folks to give a percentage of the church income. I know some churches that do that, but that penalizes the local church. It takes money out of the local church. And I believe God's as concerned about Oak Knoll Church and what it does here as he is about Aguas Calientes or San Luis Potosí or anywhere else. God's concerned about the home needs. In fact, if this home church doesn't make it, you folks out there on the foreign field are going to have a hard time.
Right.
Amen. If the root and the stock, you know, dies, then the limbs are, you know, are, I say they're sunk or not sunk, but you know what I mean? Humanly speaking, they are. But the fourth way to give, not only is there emotional giving and budget giving, percentage giving, but there is faith promise giving or faith giving. I just use that term, faith giving. And I want to talk about giving by faith tonight, whether you call it faith promise or just faith giving or whatever, trusting God, doesn't really matter to me what you call it, as long as you realize it's a principle taught in the Bible, taught in the Word of God. Now I want you, if you will, to turn your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 9 tonight. And I hope that when this meeting's over, it'll be kind of like the old evangelist who came home and was given a report about what happened. And they said to him, well, what kind of results did you have? And he smiled real big. He said, well, he said, we had six saved and we had 25 rewound. Well, I hope this will be a time when we have not only people saved, but some folks rewound. Amen. We kind of tend to run down. Amen. And whether it's on the mission field in Mexico or on the mission field in San Antonio or wherever, you tend to run down. It's good to get in a good old-fashioned preaching meeting. Amen. And have folks preach to you. I tell you, I've been preached to this week. I've been blessed. I enjoyed that preaching tonight, didn't you? That was wonderful preaching. Thank the Lord. Good preaching. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, I've often said that, you know, God didn't just turn this thing loose, that is, the church loose, and say, well, I hope you make it. God has a plan. God is a God of plan. And even though, you know, we're not as planned, some of us aren't, at least as we ought to be, God's a God of plan. And God had a plan for the financial needs of His church. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, remember this, 1 Corinthians 9, God has a plan for the support of the local work. And that support, of course, is through the tithe. In 2 Corinthians 9, God has a plan for the outreach of the church, or mission work of the church. That's in 2 Corinthians 9. God just lays it out there. In 1 Corinthians 9, He tells us how it was done in the Old Testament. He said, even so has the Lord ordained that they that preach the gospel should live the gospel. Amen. That is, there should be the tithe as it was in the Old Testament. It should be given today just like it was then. And so, just so God has a plan for supporting the missionary work, the outreach, as it were. And that plan is laid out for us here in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. And he says here in the ninth chapter, for as touching, verse 1, for as touching and ministering to the saints, it is superfluous for me to write to you. For I know the fervorness of your mind, for which I boast of you to them of Macedonia, that Achaia was ready a year ago, and your zeal hath provoked very many. Now I praise the Lord for what God's done here at Oak Knoll, and your zeal not only is inspiring to you, but your zeal will be a means of testimony to reach out, and it's reached others. I tell you, through me, it's reached others. As I tell folks about what God's done and what God's doing here at Oak Knoll, your zeal has provoked very many. There's a way in which we ought to provoke. You see, sometimes we provoke each other to anger, but God said we ought to provoke each other to good works. Amen. Amen. He said, yet have I sent the brethren, lest our boasting of you should be in vain in this behalf, that, as I said, ye may be ready. Lest haply, if they of Macedonia come with me and find you unprepared, we, that we say not ye, should be ashamed in the same confident boasting. Therefore, I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren that they would go before unto you and make up beforehand your bounty, whereof you had noticed before, that the same might be ready as a matter of bounty and not as of covetousness. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. And he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Brother Kincaid, are you going to share those figures with your church family?
I will.
Well, I mean, do you plan on doing it?
Sure.
Well, I mean, I don't want to say anything if you're going to do it. I just say, he was sharing with me tonight, you know, I mentioned tonight how that over these years since we started our missionary giving, that we've given $1.5 million to missions.
Yeah.
And then we realize that God's given us back in properties, $1.5 million in property. And he was showing me tonight how that y'all have given, since y'all started seriously giving to missions, y'all have given $750,000. This church has.
Amen.
And he said, and then at the same time, God's given us this property here valued at about $500,000. I said, God owes you $250,000. Amen. God owes you $250,000. He said, I'm not saying that. I said, I am. Amen. God, I'm going to tell God about it too. God owes $250,000. Amen. In something here. Amen.
Amen.
I mean, because God will not be a man's debtor.
That's right.
God doesn't remain in debt to man.
That's right. Amen.
You can't outgive God. That's not just a saying. That's a fact. You cannot outgive God. The reason is because when you give, God gives. Amen?
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 Amen.
And God gives better than you give.
That's right.
Amen? God gives bigger than you give. Amen. It's kind of like you shovel out and God shovels in. And you shovel out and God shovels in. But God's got the biggest shovel. Amen? Amen. And pretty soon He just covers you up. Amen?
Amen.
Amen?
Praise the Lord.
And so I really believe this, Brother Linda. I'm not just saying to sound smart. I say it serious tonight. God's got something special here for Oak Knoll. I don't know what he's going to do, but he's going to do it. And when he does it, I'm going to shout the victory with you. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. But it says that if you sow bountifully, you reap bountifully. That's what you've been doing. You've been sowing bountifully. Every man according as he purposes in his heart, so let him give. Not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And God, by the way, let me say this too tonight. In regard to your tithing, and I don't know whether you believe in tithing or not, but I do, and I'll just preach it because I believe it, all right? Since I'm preaching tonight, amen? But in regard to tithing, you don't have to give tithing cheerfully. Nowhere are you suggested or is it said that you have to give tithing cheerfully. I mean, you may have to sit down and you may weep every time you write out that tithe check. It doesn't matter. You know, God doesn't say you have to be cheerful about that. Now, you do need to be cheerful about when you give over and above the tithe in this matter of your faith giving, all right? I mean, the first is your tithe, which you don't even pray about that. You don't even have to ask about that. God's already said that you ought to give, amen, you ought to tithe. And the tithe is the Lord's, and so you take a tenth part of what God gives you, and you give it back to Him. And then above that, God says, now then, you can give faith giving.
Amen.
And that is not a set amount. That's as much as you want to give.
Right.
Every man according as he purposes in his heart.
Amen.
That speaks of desire. How much desire do you have? Huh? How much desire do you have?
Amen.
Well, God loves a cheerful giver. Amen?
Amen.
And giving over above your tithe needs to be done cheerfully. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. That is one of the fullest verses in all the Bible. Let me go back and reread that again. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every work. Man, that's chock full, isn't it?
That's right.
Man, you talk about full. That's full. Well, tonight, I want to preach about faith promise giving or faith giving. I'm talking about giving over and above your tithe or giving over and above your gifts to your local church here. And I know that you have boxes that you put the offerings in. I have a box too, by the way. I had a box before Brother Kincaid had a box. Amen. Amen. However you do it, to a box or a plate or however, that really doesn't matter. But what does matter is the matter that you give. But I want to talk about the matter of giving. And I believe we go right here in these verses, we go to the very heart of faith giving. Amen. We go to the very heart of it. And I want to just share a couple of three or four thoughts tonight about the matter of giving. By the way, you know, in our church, I've told our men, I think I've got them all straightened out. As I grew up, I heard people pray this prayer, Brother Kincaid. You probably heard it. Many of you, if you grew up in church, you heard this prayer. The ushers would always pray this prayer. Now, dear God, help those who can give and bless those who can't give. That just somehow always rubbed me wrong. You see, it's not a matter of can and can't. It's a matter of will and want.
That's right.
Amen.
Everybody can give. Amen.
Right.
I mean, and I'm not going to ask God to bless those who don't give. Amen. I'd be asking God to do something contrary to what He's said He wants to do.
That's right.
He's promised He'd bless those who do give. He's never promised to bless those who don't give.
That's right.
Amen.
That's right. Amen.
And why should I pray a blessing on God robbers? Amen. Okay, amen. You said those are stout words, Brother Joe. Well, that the Bible says,
amen.
Will a man rob God?
Amen.
That makes him a God robber, doesn't it?
Amen.
Okay, well, that's what I'm talking about. Number one, and here's something I said the night, I'm going to say it again and reinforce it tonight. You reap what you sow.
That's right.
Now, throughout all the scripture, I mean, there is no variation of that. You reap what you sow. The Bible says, and many things, but the Bible says in one place that if a man is going to have friends, he must show himself friendly. What does that mean? That means if I want to have a friend, I need to sow friendship.
That's right.
And if I sow friendship, it works. You're going to have friends. If I am friendly, I will have friends. Because the Bible teaches that you reap what you sow. It also works in the negative sense, but I don't want to stress that tonight. I mean, if you sow the flesh, you from the flesh reap corruption. Amen. But I praise God for the positive aspect of that, that Galatians says, whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. And so number one, put this down in your heart, you reap what you sow.
Right.
Amen. Brother Billy preached tonight about the power of God. Listen, you reap what you sow in the sense, brother, if you really have that desire, if you refuse to be without the power of God, brother, if you don't take any substitute, brother, then you reap what you sow in the sense that you get the power of God.
Amen.
If you're willing to cut corners and take whatever and get up and bring a little sermonette, then you reap what you sow. You get nothing. But I'm saying tonight that we need to understand that in every realm, including the monetary, the financial, the matter of money, that you reap what you sow. Now, I want you. We'll turn back in the Old Testament to Malachi, and if you don't feel like you're crossing some kind of a barrier when you get back there past Matthew, look with me at something here, if you will, please. And I realize tonight that many of you may not. I say many. Some of you may not accept this, but I'm going to read it for those of you that will, all right? God says, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now, herewith saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, all right? Now, whether you even accept, what God's saying here as being applicable to you, certainly the principle, God hasn't shifted gears.
Right.
The God of the Old Testament is still the same God today. He doesn't operate the same way in every area, I understand that, but God is still the same. And if God's promised that if you give to Him, He's going to open the windows of heaven upon you in the Old Testament, that would certainly hold true today. But I want you to notice, He said, I'll open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing.
Right.
And most of us stop there and say, well, I give and then God blesses me. and I say, well, how is He blessing you? Well, I just feel blessed. Well, that's good to feel blessed. Amen.
Amen.
But how do you feel blessed? Well, I just feel kind of, good inside. All right. Well, that's fine. But is that all that is involved in the blessing? Well, he goes on to say here, he said, he's going to pour out a blessing that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Huh? And then he goes on to say in the next verse, and I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, that he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground. Neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. And all the nations shall call you blessed, for you shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. What I'm saying is that the blessings that He promised to pour out upon us, if we give, are tangible blessings. Amen? They're tangible blessings. Material blessings. And again, I want you to understand, I am not saying tonight that God wants anyone here to set out to become wealthy and rich. But I am saying this tonight that I have never seen in the Bible or seen in experience where a poor saint, dirt poor, who can't pay their bills, who has to pull the shutters down because the bill collectors are out there banging the door, how that honors God. I've never seen that honor God. I don't, in fact, the Bible says, owe no man anything. So I know that doesn't honor God. We're not supposed to be in debt. All right. So what I'm saying is, I believe that God wants His people to prosper. What? This is tough, brother. Let me tell you something. I'm going to plow here if it breaks my plow.
Amen.
Amen. I mean, and I know what I'm talking about. I plowed some hard fields, and this is hard tonight. But you know what I can do? If I have to, I can amen myself.
Amen.
I have done that before, too. Amen. just preach it and then run back to the back and say, hey, preach it. Amen. I can do that. Now, I don't really need you to amen. I'm not even saying that, but please don't, you know, I don't even mind you frowning. But please don't grit your teeth, all right? I'm talking about you receiving a blessing. Amen. Amen. I mean, are you afraid of that? Is there something about that frightens you, that God wants to bless you and prosper you? Third John says that John prayed for the brethren that they might prosper and be in health.
Yeah.
Even as their soul prospered.
Amen.
Now what do you mean by that? He said, I pray for you that you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. Amen. He's saying, I want you to prosper in body. Amen.
Amen.
And soul.
Amen.
Amen. And spirit.
Amen.
And bank account.
Amen.
Amen.
What's wrong with that? I mean, is that wicked or ungodly or something? Again, I'm not preaching like Reverend Ike. You know, you've heard Reverend Ike on the radio. I guess you have. Who preached about green power. Huh? You never heard him. You missed a blessing, man. Oh, yeah, Reverend Ike. Boy, he's a black man, and he preaches about green power. Green power. Amen. Boy, you've got to send, you know, some money to him, and then you get power, you see, whatever. Or you send an offering, he'll send you a miracle billfold that just produces money. Huh? Well, if it produces money, why don't he just use one himself? Amen. But listen, but the Bible, listen, I'm not preaching from that standpoint, nor am I preaching what some call the prosperity gospel that says everybody ought to have a Mercedes, a Lincoln, and a Cadillac in the driveway. Everybody ought to live in a $300,000 home with a swimming pool and all the accoutrements. I'm not saying that at all.
Amen.
But I tell you what I am saying, right, that I believe the Bible says, is it you reap what you sow.
Amen.
If you sow material things, I believe God's is going to let you reap material things.
Amen.
If you sow giving money, God is going to give you back money.
Amen.
If you sow friendship, you're going to get back friendship.
Amen.
If you sow compassion, you're going to get back compassion. If you sow understanding, you're going to get back understanding.
Amen.
I believe whatever you sow, whatever you reap, you're going to sow. And so I'm saying tonight, number one, that We reap what we sow. Number two, I want to say, you reap after you sow.
Amen.
Sometimes it's sometime after. God still owes you $250,000. Amen. Sometimes it's sometime after. But you reap after you sow. When our children were little tiny kiddos, We used to have gardens, and I was trying to get them involved in learning, to do things, and so we'd get them to dig up a little garden, and they'd plant their own little garden. Each of the five kids had a garden. Of course, Doris and I had a garden and what have you. But they'd go out there and plant those seeds, and boy, we had a big day, and we'd water those things down and cover them up and so forth. Go to bed. Next morning, you get up, is out there wondering, was the garden growing? Huh? They got upset. How come my garden's not growing? I said, well, you got to wait a while. Huh? It takes a little while. Amen. You don't put the seeds in the ground tonight and go out and pluck ears of corn off the crop tomorrow. Amen. You reap after you sow. You see, a lot of people say, you know, if I have more, I'd give more. No, the fact is, God says if you'd give more, you'd have more.
Amen.
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 You reap after you sow, all right? And so a lot of people saying, well, you know, boy, if I had this, in fact, I had one fellow that told me one time, boy, if I had $1 million, I'd give it to the church. I started asking what he was doing with that 250 he had.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen. That's right.
I mean, you know, it's easy to offer to God and to make available to God what we don't have. You know, that's easy. Boy, if I had $1 million, huh?
Boy, if you get a million, I bet you'd ask him then. Amen? Boy, if I could just get a million, I'd just give it all to God. Well, that I believe that if you're giving what you have now to God.
That's right.
Amen.
If you're not giving all you got to God now, I wouldn't believe what you're saying.
Amen.
And so, not only do we reap what we sow, but we reap after we sow. The Bible says, and get this, please, this is so important, and many people miss it even though it's so simple, Luke 6:38. You know the verse, but do you really know the verse? It says, give. That's a good place to stop, just give. Amen? God's word says give, doesn't it? Give, and it shall be given unto you. Pressed down,
kernels of corn. You reap more than you sow.
Amen.
That's the principle, amen?
Amen.
Not only do you reap after you sow, but you reap more than you sow. Amen.
Amen.
That verse I quoted a while ago, that men shall give in your bosom, they shall give it to you, shaken together, running over. Amen. That's the way God gives to us. I remember going to see Mrs. Keel. And Mrs. Keel was always, just she and her husband are always sweet friends, an older couple. And I went by to see them one day, and she said to me, she said, Brother Joe, have y'all gotten any pecans this year? And I said, not yet. She said, well, let me get you some. And I said, well, thank you. And so went out there, and she got one of these nice big old grocery sacks, and she had a big old bushel basket, and she started putting those beautiful pecans in that sack. And boy, just filled up the top. And I thought, boy, that's generous. That's wonderful. And I said, well, thank you, Mrs. Keel. And I started getting, she said, just a minute. And I stepped back, and she took the sack, and she said, whoop, whoop. And those pecans settled down. And she poured some more into it.
Amen.
And I said, well, thank you, Mrs. Keel. She said, just a minute. And I'd step back, and she said, whoop, whoop. And they settled some more, and she poured some more into it. That's what God's talking about, brother.
Amen.
He gives it to you, shaken together. Pressed down, amen, and running over. That's the way God does it. God doesn't operate a snack bar. God operates a smorgasbord,
amen.
God doesn't say, come to now, just get, take what you gotta have just to get by. God spreads a table,
amen.
God spreads a table and says, come on. When he fed the multitudes, he didn't say, now, boy, guys, come by here and just get what you gotta get just to get you home. The Bible says they all ate and were filled. And just to make sure, so no one would misunderstand, God made sure there was 12 baskets full left over.
Amen.
That's the way God does business.
Amen.
He doesn't do it like some of you husbands do your wives. Well, now, what do you just got to have? You got to have $5? What do you do with all that money, huh? Huh?
Amen.
Yeah, huh? You old tightwad, you. Amen. God just gives it. Amen. God just opens up his hands and God gives to us bountifully.
Amen.
As I said, brother, when God, in fact, everything God's ever done, he's done in a marvelous way. I mean, you ought to, outside of that, when you get ready to go home and you look up in the starry skies, and knows what God's done. God could have just put a star here and put three or four over there and, put six or eight, maybe a dozen up in the sky. And we could look up and said, look, there's all dozen stars out tonight. And give them all a name. But God didn't just put a star here and, just say, well, it's tough making stars, Put one over here. Oh, this is hard work, Well, I guess I can spare one from over there in the east, I mean, God just took them by the millions and threw them up there. Man, God said, I like that. Boy, that's pretty, ain't it? Let's throw some more up there. Amen. And God filled the skies with the stars. And that's the God we're talking about tonight. God, listen, God wants you to know that we reap more than we sow. Because the God we serve is a God of bounty. God of bounty. I praise the Lord tonight. I say this. I don't say it lightly. I praise the Lord for what this church has done in giving. I mean, brother, there's nothing at all that I could say that would I would not even think about saying anything critical because I think it's been wonderful, marvelous. But I think this, I think that your church as well as Town East Baptist Church can do more.
That's right.
I think we can do more.
Amen.
I mean, I think that we can do more than we've done. And I tell you, when you get this place, Brother Kincaid and Pastor, when you and church family, when you get this place, it is so easy to feel like, boy, we have stretched out here. We've done this. We've given $100,000. Man, there's no way we can top that. Oh, yes.
That's right.
With God, you can top it.
Amen. That's right.
Amen. And brother, you can have a ball doing it.
I believe.
Amen.
Amen.
Because you see, God will give many times through you what God won't give to you. Now listen to what I'm saying. Many times God will give through you what God won't give to you.
Amen.
You see, if you and I become an unhindered channel that God can just flow money through, God will just start pumping it over to us and let us spread it around. Amen. And His work. But you know what many of us do, brother? It comes to here and it stops right there. Bang.
Yeah.
You know, if you had a hose you bought over at Walmart and you hooked it up to your faucet and you turn it on, you know, with good flow and you got it on the other end, it stood there, you know, an hour after you'd get a drop up. Drip. 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 You look back there at the source and you look over here and you think, man, this hose is cheating somewhere here. This hose is swallowing most of it. Amen.
Yeah.
I mean, yet God puts it in up here and He wants it to flow through the hose and out down the only end. Amen.
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 I'm saying that we reap more than we sow. God wants to work through us, and God wants to give. Oh, how God wants to give through us. God says there in Matthew 13, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Amen. God gives increase.
Amen.
Far more than what we sow.
Amen.
And then let me say in the last place that we reap in proportion to what we sow. In the sense if it's sparingly, that's the way we reap. If it's bountifully, that's the way we reap. I talked to a woman this week. I'd never heard her testimony. But she was sharing something with me that blessed me about the matter of giving. And she's certainly not the kind of person that any way boasts or brags. In fact, she didn't even realize what she was saying. She was just sharing something with me. And she said, you know, Brother Joe, back when I got saved, and she told me the year, just back in the late 70s, I believe it was, said I got saved. And she said, then said I got married and said, you know, I really want to do something for God. And she said, I heard a missionary come to our church and I heard about this matter of giving and I wanted to give to missions. And she said, I didn't have an income, so my husband's in the military, he's a Marine. And said, he wasn't saved and he wouldn't give me any money, but said, I wanted to do something. She said, you know, I determined. I heard this challenge about giving and she said, I promise God by faith I'm going to give you $40 a week. Pretty good step for the first step.
Amen.
Mercy. Pretty good step. Bigger step than I took the first time I took the step. She said, I want to give you $40 a week. Nowhere in the world is she. But she, you see, she had a desire. She had a bountiful heart. I mean, she wanted to give bountifully. Brother, with a woman who had no income, whose husband wouldn't give her any money, that's bountiful giving.
Amen.
Even though it's by faith. But I'll tell you, there's something wonderful about this matter of faith. Brother, when you take a step by faith, like Peter stepped out of the boat, remember, that was a step of faith. And you know, folks have said, look at him. He's going to, man, that fool, you're going to kill yourself. Stepped out of the boat and stepped out.
Amen.
On something.
Amen.
Amen.
Right.
And he stepped
Amen.
Again on something.
Amen.
And he stepped again on something. Right. And praise God, brother, he's out there walking.
Amen.
Someone said, on water. Well, I think he's walking on faith.
Amen.
I think God's out there, and every time he'd put his foot down, God put a hand under it. You put another foot down, and God put a hand, and God just hold him out. Yes, he's just walking on faith. I mean, trusting God. But I'll tell you what, listen, I'm saying tonight that this woman, she said, I want to give you $4 a week. And that next week, someone called her. She didn't call in, they called her and said, listen, I'm going to work. Would you babysit my kids? She said, yes, I will. And the lady said, well, I'll tell you what I can afford to pay. I can pay. And you guessed it, $40 a week. She said, praise the Lord. Amen. Man, she was a happy little gal. She started babysitting and putting that $40 a week in the church. She had a bountiful heart. She wasn't satisfied with that after that first year. She said, you know, brother, I want to do more. That's always God's way is more. Always God's way, more. And so she said, I promise God, I'm going to give $60 a week to missions. 60. Amen. That's bountiful. And God helped her to have the income. And then she said, you know, the next year, I want to do more. And that lady kept on. And you know, God, listen, God has blessed her and she's increased. And and today she's giving me something like $250 a week to missions.
Amen.
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 Yeah.
Amen.
Think about that. I mean, she had a bountiful heart. And brother, listen, I'll tell you, God wants somehow to help us to give and to have a bountiful heart, to desire to give more and in proportion of all. And she has to be getting that from somewhere. I'll tell you what's coming from. God put into her hands by a miraculous way, and I don't need to give any detail. And I don't know, just as a sweet testimony she shared with me, but God put into her hand $250,000 in cash. Boom. This is a gal who was born here in San Antonio, grew up dirt poor. Didn't have two quarters to rub together. Now has $250,000.
Amen.
But she's not sitting on it like
Amen.
Mine. Mine. That's my money. Oh no. No, sir, brother. Not at all. I mean, she loves God. In a minute she'd give every dime away. In a minute, if God said, give it all away, she'd jump up and say, hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
Now, $250,000 is not a lot to some folks. It's more than I've ever seen in one place.
Amen.
Or it's not. I'm not saying that that's a sign of by itself that there's something special. But I'm saying this: if you have a bountiful heart, as she had, I'm saying you reap in proportion to what you sow.
That's right.
And God's going to reap. And now, brother, now she has. And by the way, she has no husband. Her husband's died, and yet God provided in this providential way, and she's got this money. And she loves the Lord. She's the most spiritual woman outside of my wife that I have ever met. A deeply spiritual woman. I mean, brother, when she goes to the pastor, she didn't go for advice. And by the way, I don't give advice. I don't know whether you do or not, pastor. I don't give advice anymore. Don't come ask me for advice. She comes for counsel. The difference is, counsel is something you're going to follow. Advice is something you just kind of think about. Well, let me weigh it out. Let me go check my other friends, see what they think.
Amen.
Well, I don't have time for you to check me out.
Amen.
I'm too busy to check me out.
Amen.
If you want to come and get counsel, you're going to follow, come see me.
Amen.
But that's the kind of woman Amen. She is. She comes and says, pastor, what should I do?
Amen.
Ready to do it. Amen.
Amen.
And I mean that in the right way. I mean Hebrews, you know, 13:7 way. That's what I mean. But I'm saying you reap more than you sow. And you reap in proportion to what you sow. Look at that sixth verse, if you will. He which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully.
Amen.
And he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. We've got too many sparing Christians. That's the problem. Well, what a blessing it'd be if somehow God could take our tight fist and God could open them up.
Amen.
Brother, we ought to just be quick on the draw. Amen. Be able to whip it out. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Maybe good for us to practice that, brother.
Amen.
Amen. I like it. By the way, I was talking about how much I appreciate your chains. Now I've got one. I'm a chain on the chain gang too. But I also appreciate, I know some of the folks around here that carry checkbooks around. Brother Kincaid does.
Amen.
That's good, brother. Keep it close, okay? I mean, carry a checkbook around with you. You know, we had a fellow come to our church some time ago, Bob Blankenship. He was a checkbook kind of a guy. He came to our church. After the service, he came out. We'd had a good service that day and had several people saved. And boy, he came by. Never seen him before in my life. Just drove into the city. Well, you know Bob. And he said to me, sure, Bob, it'll do you. And he said to me after the service, he said, man, I tell you, we really enjoyed that service. God bless you. He said, you need anything? You know, I've had lots of folks visit our church over the years, and I have a lot of people say that they got a blessing, whether they did or not, but they said it. But he's the first one who said, do you need anything? And I said, what are you talking about? Bobby said, I mean, does the church need anything? And I said, hey, have you ever been around a Baptist church that didn't need something? Well, he said, do you need something? I said, sure we do. I said, what size thing are you talking about? He said, any size. And I said, yeah, we need a bus. How much you need? I told him, he just whipped his checkbook out and wrote out a check for it. Amen.
Amen.
That's what I call about open-handed giving.
Amen.
Amen. Just wrote a check for it and gave it to me. He said, we'll be back tonight. And I said, come on back and bring your checkbook with you. Amen. What a blessing. Amen.
Amen.
I'm saying that we have too many people that give sparingly.
Yeah.
Man, you can almost hear the billfold, you know, the hinges creak when it opens up. Creak! You know, the bat flies out, you know, and they shake the dust off and put it in the collection plate. Brother, we need somehow to keep it fresh and moving. Amen?
That's right.
Amen.
Brother, when Jesus comes, I want to be paid up. I want to be prayed up. I want to be ready to go up.
Amen.
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 I'm working on that. I really am.
Amen.
Being paid up and prayed up and ready to go up. Giving. May God help us to be givers.
Yes. Amen.
Amen. Let's bow our heads, please. And let's pray. Our precious Heavenly Father, we love you tonight with all of our heart.
Amen.
And our Father, we thank you for your word that talks about the matter of giving. Lord, I know that we get quiet at times, and I know that we get apprehensive, and Lord, some people have a hard time being responsive to the preaching about giving. And yet, Father, we thank you tonight, dear God, for all the sweet principles, all the precious truths in the Word of God about giving. Now, Father, we pray tonight that somehow you might help us to see these truths about sowing and reaping. And God, help us to learn tonight that we have to give before we reap. We have to sow before we reap, dear Lord. We can't reap first and then sow later. We must sow before we reap. Then God, thank you that when we do sow, dear God, that we, and sow bountifully, God, we reap bountifully. Thank you there is a reaping and that we get back more than we planted. And thank you, dear God, that we can be open with that and we can give more of that. And you can give then back to us more than we gave, that we might then in turn give back to thee more than we received. And then God, you can give us more. And Lord, we thank you for the wonderful way in which you give through us and work through us and do things through us, dear God, because you found that we are channeled. God, help some men here tonight. Help some ladies here tonight. Help some young people here tonight, dear God, to Lord, who have been maybe a closed channel or maybe a restricted channel. God, help them to become an open channel. God, open up and Lord, to realize that the windows of heaven can be opened as we begin to give. And God, you pour out upon us not just a untangible blessing, some nebulous nothing, dear God, that we call blessing, but God, you bless us in very tangible ways and very real ways and God in material ways as well. God, we pray that you may bless your people here. Thank you for this church. Thank you for its testimony. Not only here in San Antonio, dear God, but Lord, up and down the land. We praise you for that. Now, dear God, we pray that you'd work in our hearts tonight. And God, do something for us that, Lord, needs to be done. Lord, that we might become bountiful givers and cheerful givers. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand, please, tonight. I want to ask you to come to the altar. The altars are open. And tonight, I want to say this. I realize that everyone that may come tonight, and you need to realize everyone that may respond tonight is not someone's coming saying, well, I don't give at all. I've been holding out on God. I'm not giving. But I'll tell you what, there may be those here tonight who need to come and say, I've not been a bountiful giver. I find it hard to give. It hurts me to give. It's difficult. I've not gotten liberty and freedom in giving. But I hope you'll come right and get down and say, God, I'm going to stay on my knees here.
Amen.
I'm going to stay on my face tonight. If the church leaves and they shut the doors and turn out the lights, I'm going to stay here until you give me liberty in my heart to give. Until I can get freedom in this matter of giving. I'm tired of letting the devil bind me down and put a lock on me until it grieves me in the giving. I don't really have the joy. And I can't really give bountifully. I mean, it just come tonight. Just tell God, Lord, I need that liberty. I need that freedom. Amen. Yes, thank God that this church is sending the light, but someone has to pay the light bill.
Right.
That's you and me. Amen?
Amen?
Now, I'm glad I can pay the light bill. I'm talking about the gospel light bill. And praise the Lord for the 99,000 given. But, oh, listen, it could even be more.
That's right.
If God would give you the liberty to give. Amen? And teach you to give. And listen, when you start giving, don't be surprised when God opens up avenues that God begins to channel funds to you and through you. I mean, don't be surprised what God will do. Don't be surprised. Amen. You can't outgive God. God will be no man's debtor. God will give to you if you give to Him. But He doesn't give to you to keep. He gives to you to give. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right. You come tonight while we sing the invitation song. Would you come? Will you come? Will you be open and honest with God and just say, Lord, I'm coming. I need to be liberated. It's a matter of giving. I promise you, I'm not going to be long in this. In fact, I won't be long at all. I'm giving you a chance to respond, not to me, to respond to the God that speaks to our hearts. If God hasn't spoken to your heart, then just stay where you are. But if God the Holy Spirit spoke to your heart tonight, this is your chance to respond.
Amen.
And if you don't respond, then the invitation is over as far as I'm concerned. Just we'll sing one more stanza. If no one responds, that'll be all as far as my part's concerned. But I surely tonight, surely someone here tonight, surely several someone here tonight need to say, Lord, I need to be freed in this matter of giving. I need to have liberty in this matter of giving. I want to become a bountiful giver. Not first a bountiful receiver. I want to be a bountiful giver. Because I have to give first before I receive. I have to sow before I reap. But I want to become a bountiful giver. And God, I trust you then to bountifully give back to me. You come tonight while we're singing the next stanza. If not, we'll close the invitation.